And we're going to commence our meeting by singing a grand old gospel hymn. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? 224, if you're using our own hymn book, the words up here on the screen. After the note, we'll stand to sing. I think the organ's sorted out, isn't it? It sort of did its own thing last night. It just held the note forever and a day, and I had to turn it off. But I think it's working, sounds in working order tonight. 224, and after the note will stand. And that's really sing it out. Sing it as if you believe it, with all your heart and soul. Seek the Lord in prayer, and tonight particularly we're going to remember the minister of the church here, Dr. Brown. His dear mother passed into the presence of the Lord earlier on today, and she's going to be with Christ, which is far better. But there will be the sorrowing, although we sorrow not as those that have no hope. But nevertheless, the Brown family need our prayers. They've lost a mother-in-law, and a grandmother, and we will be remembering them tonight. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we rejoice this night that we're gathered in the kind providence of God, Lord, in this house. You've brought us here safely, and we're glad, Lord, that we have been singing, Lord, one of many of the old gospel hymns that are found in our hymn book. We've been singing about the blood of the Lamb, and we thank you, Father, that from the very beginning of God's word right through to the end. It's all about the Lamb, and it's all about the blood that he shed for our redemption when he died for our sins. We're glad that we can say tonight the wrath of God that was our due upon the Lamb was laid, and by the shedding of his blood, the debt for us was paid. The debt was paid in full. There's nothing left to pay, because our blessed Saviour in triumph cried, "It is finished." And we thank you, Father. There's nothing, Lord, that we can add to it. There's nothing the devil can take from it. It was the cry of victory. And in that finished work afresh, Lord, tonight we confess our faith. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. We thank you, Lord, that in this house tonight the gospel will be proclaimed. Christ will be magnified. He said, "If I be lifted up," a reference first of all to the cross. But he said, "If I will be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." One man lifted up, all men drawn to him. And we're praying that there will be an effectual call tonight, that any that are gathered among us who are still unsaved and still unconverted, their faces still toward the city of destruction, that even this night they may come to Christ. We pray for any that are back slidden among us tonight. They're cold of heart. They're here in body, but perhaps not in spirit. We're praying for them tonight that afresh, Lord, they would make that fresh start with God. For we're glad, Lord, that you have loved us with that everlasting love. And it is your desire that all your children walk in light, even, Lord, as you are in the light. We pray that there might be a little reviving among the people of God tonight, that all things must be done to the edification of the church. And we believe these have been edifying meetings, even for the people of God. May that continue, Lord, to be. Let us profit, Lord, in the things that we hear tonight, meditating upon these things and giving ourselves wholly and totally to them, that are profiting might appear on the all. Do you remember our brother Noah as he preaches the word? Fill him with the Spirit of God. Our sister Abigail as she sings to us tonight, may she know the help of the Lord. And we pray that in all things Christ might have all the preeminence. We do pray for the Brown family tonight, Lord. We remember them in their hour of grief. When one member of the body suffers, we all suffer together. It's easy, Lord, to laugh and to rejoice with those that rejoice. But you have said, Lord, that we are to weep with those that weep, and to bear one another's burdens, that we might fulfill the law of Christ. But with us now, Lord, we pray, guide us, Lord, with thy Spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give you a formal welcome along this evening? It's good to see a goodly number gathered out on this the Friday night. Here we are near the end of the first week of our 2-week mission. It's easy for me to say that we're glad to have some of the ministers in the congregation tonight, but then I'm not preaching, so I just don't feel the pain of that. But we welcome them, especially our brother Woods, brother Smiley, and our brother Eric Smith as well. But everybody's welcome, and we're glad that you've made the effort in coming along this evening. Do encourage others to come, please, and let's try and get these seats filled up and people in to hear the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation. The announcements are for the Lord's Day. With Mr. Brown, obviously, in his grief, not able to be here. But on the Lord's Day morning, the Reverend Colin Mercer will be preaching here in the Martyrs Church. And then the mission continues at night, and our brother Noel will be the preacher on the Lord's Day evening. The funeral for Mrs. Brown is on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock in Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church. So please remember these meetings, and remember also the funeral and the family in prayer. Now, Helen was to sing to us tonight, but Helen is sucking lozenges tonight, and her throat isn't what it ought to be. But she got us a substitute. She didn't leave us in the lurch, for which we're thankful. And Abigail is going to come and sing to us. So Abigail, can you bring your two pieces in song at this time, please? Thank you.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone. Spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth this sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him? Jesus is standing on trial still. You can be false to him if you will. You can be faithful through good or ill. What will you do with Jesus, what will you do with him? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Oh, what will he do with me? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Oh, what will he do with me? Will you evade him as Pilate tried? Or will you choose him, whate'er betide? Vainly you struggle from him to hide. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Oh, what will he do with me? Will you, like Peter, your Lord deny? Or will you scorn from his foes to fly? Daring for Jesus to live or die, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him?
Sister, those two messages and song, very moving, very challenging. The Saviour said, he that is not with me is against me. And you cannot sit on the fence in this matter, maybe thinking about salvation and so on. But until you actually come to him, it's with them that come to him that he will in no ways cast out. And when we receive him, and nothing short of that, it's then that he gives us the power, the authority to become the sons of God. Thank you, sister, for singing to us. Before our brother Noel comes, we're going to sing the words of 270. The hymn 270, again, it's on the screen, down at the cross where my Saviour died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. We'll stand again to sing after the note, and let's again really sing it out. Singing was good in the first hymn. Let's keep it up, please. About midnight tonight. Well, we've got back up here, brother. You're redundant just for another little while. And thank our brother for his services thus far. And we'll have to look to our sister over here, brother.
Glory to God.
Well, we're very glad to have Noah again along tonight. It's his turn to bring the word of the Lord. And we've been praying that God will give him power to preach in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. God bless you, brother.
Well, we thank Colin for leading the meeting, and Abigail singing so well to us, and we certainly enjoyed the ministry and song. And I thank you very much for all coming along tonight, and we pray the meeting will be a real blessing to your heart, those who are saved. And if you're all converted, well, certainly our prayer, that's our prayer in the prayer meetings and for the mission, that you will come and find the Lord Jesus as your own personal Saviour. Now, we want to turn tonight to God's words to Luke's Gospel and the chapter 18. And we're going to read together from verse 18, the same account in different Matthew also and the Mark, but Luke 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honour thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lacketh thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Amen. And we pray the Lord to bless that short reading to all of our hearts tonight. I want to speak tonight on my theme. It's really a question that was asked by this young ruler to Christ. "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So you have here the great question. The great question. So let's look to the Lord and we ask for his help tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you what we've heard already in the meeting tonight. They're singing Abigail. We thank you for the congregational singing as well. We can sing of the blood and we can sing of Christ. But Lord, now we come to the preaching of the gospel. And Lord, I pray for your help. I pray for liberty in the proclamation of thy word. And I pray for those who's all converted in this meeting, that, Lord, you'll bring them to Christ. Bless us and help us and glorify your great name in Jesus' name. Amen. What shall I do to inherit the eternal life? When you look at the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find that there are many times that people came to him and they asked a question. I wonder if I threw it onto the floor tonight. Do you know the first question that was asked of Christ when he was here upon the earth? Well, we'd probably have to scratch our head, we'd have to think a little bit. Well, what was the first question? Who asked the first question to the Lord Jesus? Well, it was his mother. Remember Mary? When she came to, they found him in the temple, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 48. And Mary and Joseph came, and when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? And behold, we have sought thee sorrowing." So the first person to ask him, going by the Bible here, was his mother. They were searching for the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in John's Gospel 8, verse 25, these Jews, these religious Jews, as they looked and as they listened to the Lord Jesus Christ, they said these words to the Lord Jesus, "Who art thou? Who art thou?" Just perhaps they could not believe what they were hearing and what they were seeing, and so they were interrogating the Lord Jesus Christ, and they says, "Well, who art thou?" Well, the Lord gave the answer. He told them, "Even the same as I said unto you from the beginning." You can think of the beginning of the congregation where he said to them, "I am the light of the world," and the Father had sent them. In other words, he's the Son of God and he's the Savior of the world. So question after question after question came to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we find here in this passage. As I said, it talks about it in Mark's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel. It talks and tells us here about a rich young ruler running. And he's running to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people today, and they're running away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe that's some people in this meeting tonight. You're running. You're running away from Christ. Maybe someone had to force you into this meeting, in a sense. You're only here to please someone. You're running. You're running away. But this man, running too, he sees him. And he comes and he runs to the Lord Jesus Christ and he falls at his feet. And he asks him this great question, the question of all questions. Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He's got an interest in eternal life. It's a bit like the question that the Philippian jailer asked in Acts 16, verse 31. He's trembling, he's afraid, and he comes before Paul and Silas and he says, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? It's the same thing. A question about eternal life. He didn't ask for healing. Didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for position. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Is there anyone tonight listening in? Anyone tonight in this meeting? And you're interested in this, what we're going to speak on tonight. What shall you do to inherit eternal life? The great question. I want to say three things about this question. We look at it. First of all, you can see very simply the great theme. The great theme that's in this question. What's the great theme that's in it? I'm sure the youngest person here in the meeting tonight could say, I could tell you. If I asked a question tonight and said, could you put your hand up? What's the theme here? What's the theme in this question? Well, it's very simple. It's everlasting life. This is the theme of this question, everlasting life. The first one to mention everlasting or eternal life in the Bible was the Lord Jesus. And that was found in the Gospel over in the Gospel of John 3, verse 15, speaking of Nicodemus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that's a theme that's coming from the heart. That's a theme that's coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the theme that's before us here. Eternal life. And in this theme of eternal life, we see salvation. This is what's in this, or in these words. Because remember in John 3, verse 15, the Lord Jesus said, shall not perish, but have eternal life. So you have the contrast. There's a man or a woman, and they're going to perish. Going to lose their soul. You're going to fall down into hell, or else it's eternal life. And that's what salvation is. It saves us. Instead of perishing, instead of losing your soul, instead of falling down into hell, it's salvation. It's eternal life. Shall not perish, but have eternal life. So we find here in your salvation and eternal life. How can I get this salvation? How can I have eternal life? The salvation of God's a great theme in the Bible. Remember, it says 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is the theme of the gospel. It's a theme of the Bible about the Lord Jesus Christ. Man will perish today because of a sin, but those who have salvation will never perish. They'll never perish. They have eternal life. And that's the theme of this question. It's about eternal life. Salvation is in eternal life. The duration of eternal life. Notice it's eternity, everlasting life. He's not asking how he may prolong his life here on this earth. How can I live longer? Now, if you type that into Google, and you'll get advice. It's probably all nonsense, but you'll get advice anyway. And I came across some things. Well, both some things is good for you. Don't overeat. Bit late in that one. Eat more nuts, vegetables and fruit, exercise, And then, of course, we agree with these, don't smoke and be drinking and get plenty of sleep and on goes the list. And someone puts all these things up, you know, how to prolong your life. I remember meeting a man one time in Lewis. He came to our congregation when I was over preaching and I asked him what he worked on. He came to see me one night with his wife. And there they were in my living room. And I says, what do you work at? What is your job? You know what his job was? He says, it's life extensions. Life extensions. And whatever you followed him or what he would give you with powders or what I didn't get any of him, he was guaranteed you could live away over 100 years or far more. But this question is not about prolonging your life. He's not asking the Lord, any healthy options? What do you think? Will I stop the sugar? What do you want me? Do you want me to start jogging? Do you want me into the weight training or whatever? He's not asking these questions at all about prolonging his life. His question is about eternal life. It's everlasting. And I want you to think about that tonight. It's everlasting. These are the words that fall from the lips of this young man. And this is a truth that is found in the Word of God. Think, for instance, in Daniel 12, verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. Oh, there's Daniel. Daniel, away in the Old Testament, he's preaching. He's preaching about this theme that we're looking at tonight. It's not something that's only taught in the New Testament. He's preaching this prophet, the mighty prophet of God. He's speaking about everlasting life, and he's talking about the day of resurrection. And there's some, he says, are going to rise, and they're going to rise. Listen, to everlasting life. And then he said, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, the life this man was speaking about a life that's everlasting. Are you interested tonight in everlasting life? Are you? I want you to stop tonight and think about it. Yes, we have our life here in this world. We have our life with our families. We have our hobbies. We're not getting away from those things. Everyone has them in this meeting. But are you interested in a life that never ends? Are you? Now, the contrast of that in Matthew 25, verse 46, these go away in everlasting punishment. That's the contrast here. It's either everlasting punishment for you or everlasting life. And the man didn't want to go to everlasting punishment. He didn't want to lose his soul. He didn't want to go to hell. So he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? This life's everlasting. Everlasting life. And then I want to speak about the location of eternal life. We receive it when we receive Christ here on earth, but the location of this life is in heaven. I would not want to live in this world the way it is. The way it is now, with the wickedness, the sin, the troubles. I would not want to live in this world, or this body, the way I am now forever. I would not want to do it. And every child of God knows what I'm saying tonight. We would not. But this life is in glory. It's in heaven. And we find the words in 2 Peter 1, verse 11, and he's writing to the saints of God, and he says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's an everlasting kingdom. Here's a kingdom that never ends. This is a place, it's called heaven. And you can go to the Bible. We'll not take time tonight to turn to Revelation chapter 21 that talks about a new heavens and a new earth. And God's people will be with God forever. He shall dwell with them. And there's no wickedness, there's no sin, there's no dying. It's everlasting life in heaven. This world is not the home of God's people. Eternal life in heaven after you die. Are you interested in eternal life? This young man, you see him, he's down before the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And God's people will be going to heaven. And I have to throw in the contrast of this. Those who are not saved will be going to hell. Because the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 41, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Do you hear the difference? Do you hear what Christ is saying to those who's not saved, those on his left hand? "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." That would be the end of those without Christ. But eternal life brings us to glory. That's the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a theme. This is a theme here of this question. Eternal life. The salvation that's found in it. The duration of it. And the location of this life. It's everlasting. And I want you to think about this today. Is this a reality? This is a reality to everyone in this meeting. This is it. Then I want to think not only about the great theme, but the great teaching about eternal life. And the wonderful thing about it is this, it's a great teaching because of the Master. Now, I don't know if any school teachers here tonight. I have some school teachers, and they maybe weren't great, but I was not a good pupil. I had to say that in their defense. I was not a good pupil in any shape or form. But here's a good Master. The Lord Jesus. And he recognized us because he says, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to know how he can get everlasting life and how he can get to heaven. And he couldn't go to anyone better. He could not go to anyone better and ask this question. So he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "Good Master, could you tell me?" So here's the teaching of this. It's the same today. If you want eternal life, then you need to go to the Lord Jesus. Remember that Peter said, the Lord Jesus said to disciples in John 6, verse 67, "Will you also go away? Will you leave me?" And Peter says to the Lord Jesus in the next verse, in John 6, verse 68, "Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Isn't that amazing? He said, "Lord, why would we leave you? Could you tell us, where would we go to? There's no one else. There's no one else can help us. There's no one else can save us. Thou hast the words of eternal life." And that's the same today. There's no good going to Muhammad or to the Quran and saying, "How can I be saved?" Joseph Smith, Terence Russell's Jehovah's Witness. You go to Jesus Christ. So here's a great teaching about it. So the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then not only was there the Master, there was the message. He asked a question. Well, he asked the right person. Now the Lord Jesus in his message, there was a correction. And you can see in verse 19, remember the man says, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why calleth thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." We had to correct him. This young man failed to see who the Lord Jesus Christ really was, who stood before him. He is God. He failed to see this. And so Lord Jesus is correcting him. He says, "Listen, there's one good, that is God." And that's true. The Jehovah's Witnesses may take this verse. Now, I came across a wee thing one time, two people debating, and a Jehovah's Witness, to show that Jesus was not God, he quoted this verse, and he says, "The Lord Jesus said, there is none good save one that is God." That's what Jesus said. And he said this to the Christian. You know what the Christian said to him? And the thought was a very simple answer. He says, "Is Jesus good? Is Jesus good?" Well, the Jehovah's Witness man, he stood and he wouldn't answer it. And the man said to him, "Well, is Jesus good?" And he still couldn't answer him, because he knew if he opened his mouth and he said, "Yes, Jesus is good," well, there you are. He says, "There's none good but one." I thought a very good answer for that. And you know, he is good. And the Lord Jesus Christ is correcting this man who he is. And then not only the correction, the instruction. And the Lord Jesus introduces. He says, if thou will enter into life, well, keep the commandments. That's found over in Matthew 19, verse 17. The Lord has said, well, here's how you're going. You keep the commandments. Well, man, this was like music to the ears of this young man. Oh, this is handy enough, isn't it? Oh, this is no problem to me. All these things have I observed, he says, from my youth. Of course, the Lord Jesus said to him, which ones? He said, which one to Christ? And the Lord said, well, verse 20, do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And verse 21, all these, he said, have I kept from my youth up. But that's where he was wrong. He hadn't kept the law of God. The Lord Jesus only used the second half of the table. This young man had sin in his life. It was riches. God was not first in his life at all. He was living for treasures, as we'll see as we go on in this sermon. God was not number one. Christ was not number one in his heart. Yes, he had an outward form of morality, no doubt about this. But the law of God never saves anyone, and the Bible never says the law of God would save. And the Lord Jesus was not teaching this. He was just showing the man his sin. The law of God doesn't save, because if this young man was saved, well, by the law, he would have been saved. He wouldn't ask the question. And the Bible is very clear in Galatians 3, verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And so the Lord Jesus only uses it to show him he has sinned. And maybe there's someone here tonight in this meeting, and you think, Noel, I feel I have it all. I feel I'm on my way to heaven. I go to church. I say my prayers. I try to help people. I try to keep the commandments. I want to say to you tonight, on the authority of the Bible, the law of God will never save you. It will never get you to heaven. It will never get you everlasting life. And the reason is very plain. Because you have broken the law of God. You cannot keep it. I met a young Muslim lady the other day here, and I was speaking to her, and I asked her how to get to heaven and how to get eternal life. Well, she started to rhyme off different things. What she was doing, she was helping people in Gaza. She was doing this and she was doing that and doing the other. And I just looked at her and I just said this, well, have you done enough? Have you done enough to get in? Have you sinned? You're still not perfect. And she had to admit she had not done enough. And I says, well, how are you going to get into heaven? You can't get in. We cannot get in by works of the law, by what we do. This man loved riches more than God. The Bible says he was very rich. In Matthew 19, verse 22, for he had great possessions. The Lord Jesus actually says to him, if one lacketh thy one thing. One thing, in other words, you lack. I want to say this. Probably looking at him, you thought he had it all. You'd have thought this young man had it all. He was a rich, he was young, he was a ruler. He was respectable to Jesus Christ. He called him master. He had zeal. He came running to the Lord Jesus Christ. He fell down before the Lord Jesus. He seemed to have it all. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, there's one thing you lack. And that was Christ. He didn't have Christ. He had all these other things. But he did not have the Lord Jesus Christ. He had his riches. He had his reputation. He had his respect. But he didn't have a redeemer. He didn't have a savior. And in 1 John chapter 1, remember, and verse 12, it says, verse 11, this is a record that God has given to us, eternal life. And notice these words, and this life is in his Son. So where's eternal life? It's in the Son of God. It's not in the law of God. It's not in this man's duties or his works. And verse 12 says, he that has his Son has life. And he is not the Son of God, has not life. And so this young man did not have Christ. There was one thing missing, but the important thing was missing. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say that to you tonight in this meeting. You can maybe rhyme off a lot of things to me tonight, what you have in your life, but one thing you lack, a Savior. You need a Savior. You have broken God's law. You're under God's wrath tonight. And you need Christ. And so in this instruction, the Lord reveals his sin to him. And he challenges him. He says to him, to go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and take and come and follow me. And he puts his finger right on the very problem in the heart and life of this young man. Here's your problem. You worship riches, silver and gold. Go and sell it all. Give to the poor and come and follow me. That's what he says to this young man. He's telling him how to get everlasting life. He's commanding him to repent from his sin and put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was free. And you know the reason that was? Because Jesus paid it all. He says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You have nothing to do. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has done it all when he died upon the cross. He did the work. Remember he said in that great high priestly prayer, I finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And that poor Muslim lady is still working and still working and still working and trying and trying and trying to get into heaven by works, and you'll never do it, and you'll never do it. You must repent from your sin. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. He shed his blood upon the cross to save us. He is the Savior of the world, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. He purchased salvation. He provides salvation. You know what he said? I give unto them eternal life. And I want you to notice that tonight. If you're unconverted in this meeting, I give it. Christ says, I give it. You don't work for it. You don't pay for salvation. He says, I give it. He gives it to those who trust him tonight. And there is the promise. Remember, it says in 1 John 2, verse 25, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. It's a gift. The gift of God is what? Eternal life. And this is the wonderful news of the gospel. For you tonight who's lost in your sin and far away from God, the Lord Jesus Christ can save you, and his blood can cleanse you, and he can give you everlasting life. It's a gift. The Lord Jesus said to this young man, just let all go and come to me and trust me and follow me, and I'll give you everlasting life. And that's the message to you tonight in this meeting. Turn from your sin and come to Christ. Remember over in Acts 16, and we made reference to it. The jailer asked the question, what must I do to be saved? What was he told? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. That's the only answer. That's the only answer for you in this meeting tonight is the Lord Jesus. Trust him. Trust him 100%. Jesus only. It's not the Lord Jesus and your church. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ and your abilities. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ and your works. It's the Lord Jesus only. And you have been told tonight from the Bible, how you can get everlasting life. Come to Jesus Christ and trust him. It's a great question that was asked, and the great teaching that he received, and you're glad, you should be rejoiced tonight you have heard the way of salvation, to come to Jesus Christ and trust him only, and he will save your soul. Can I say last thing very quickly about the great tragedy? He rejected what he heard. He asked the question, and you know, he seemed to be sincere. He fell down at the feet of Jesus Christ. He seemed to be sincere. He seemed desperate. He wanted this. But when he heard what he had to do to give up his riches and everything and follow Christ, he wouldn't do it. You can see his sorrow in verse 23. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And the word sorrow means grieved all around or intensely sad. So we see it in his sorrow and in his silver. He's very rich. And I want you to see this. He wouldn't part with that which was keeping him from God. It was riches. It was treasures. that was keeping him away from God and away from Christ. And he wouldn't part with that that was keeping him away from God. He wouldn't part with it. You know, someone sang that lovely hymn, I think the other night, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus and houses or land, yet I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be a king of a vast domain and to be held in sin's dark sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything than this world affords today." But the rich young ruler, you know what he said? "I'd rather have gold. I'd rather have silver. I'd rather have my possessions." That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy in his rejection. You see these things. But heard from John the Baptist, the one thing he had to do was part from that lady, Herodias. One thing. He wouldn't part with it. And there's something in your heart tonight you're holding on to. Dear unsaved friend tonight, there's something in your heart tonight to stop when you come into Jesus Christ. You must part with it to come to him. Maybe there's many things. You see his steps as well in Mark 10, verse 22. "And he was sad at that saying," listen, "and he went away grieved." Do you see him? Imagine going away from Christ sad. He went away grieved. He walked away from the only one who could save him and give him eternal life. And so he went away sad. I wonder tonight, will you leave this meeting sad? Go away grieved that you have to part with your sin to be saved. Well, I want to say that to you. You must repent. Repent and believe the gospel. You must turn away from your sin tonight and come to Jesus Christ. And so I say to you, whatever's holding you back and whatever's stopping you come to Jesus Christ, get rid of it. Maybe friends. Maybe treasures. Maybe sport. Whatever the case may be tonight. Throw it to the one side and come to Jesus Christ. And a great tragedy, this young man, in his rebellion, the love of sin, he went away from Christ. Will it be a tragedy in you tonight? You've heard the way of salvation. You've heard how to get your sins forgiven, how to be saved, how to get to heaven, how to have everlasting life. Come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus and he'll save you and wash away all your sins. Would you come to him tonight in closing? Would you come and trust him? Would you speak with myself or Colin? There's other ministers here tonight can help you, other people. We would exhort you to come to Jesus Christ tonight. But a great tragedy. I know people. I made reference to a man I knew, and I preached to him. I told him about being saved, and he wouldn't let go of the bottle. He wouldn't let go of the drink, and he's buried maybe about 2 weeks ago. But he knew the way of salvation. Great tragedy. So just knowing the way of salvation and hearing the way of salvation, no guarantee that you'll have it. No, get right with God tonight. Come to Christ, and the Lord will save you and give you everlasting life. We're here to help you. If you want to speak with us, we pray the Lord will draw you to himself tonight and come and put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Remember the great question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. Come and trust him tonight. May God write his word upon our hearts.